Hour number three kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Have we got an official announcement yet from Arkansas? Has Calipari, has the ink dried on that contract yet?
Not that I've seen. I've been keeping an eye on it.
Matt Jones was going through it last night, KSR, as he was on the message board saying, look, guys, there's talk that Calipari's trying to get out of this. He's trying to come back to Kentucky, which would be really, really funny just from a program perspective, an athletic department perspective of having that same thing kind of happen that happened with their football coach, where he's gone and the fans are kind of like, hey, good riddance, you know, a little overrated, ready for something new, and then just awkwardly shows back up like, ah, yeah, I guess we'll do it one more year.
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking about that. It was actually about transfer portal last week, but I thought about it again when I saw that post from Matt Jones where it was like, God, if you're Barnhart, what do? You just, you know, couldn't you say, no, man, you know, you've kind of played your cards. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen, though. After all that was posted, then Pete Thamel came back and said he's been informed that there's not a press conference, but an announcement coming today, an official announcement from Arkansas, and that I think the presser will be tomorrow. And the other thing, too, was I was hearing that, and I think this was via Matt Jones, was that there was supposed to be a team meeting yesterday with Cal at Kentucky, and that got called off. And there's been back and forth just talking to a few other people with that maybe Barnhart wasn't included in that meeting at first, and maybe it was just going to be Cal and the players. And I get it. If I'm Mitch Barnhart, it's like, man, you don't want him in there with just the players.
Yeah, you can't invite the wolf into the chicken house and allow him to take some things on the way out. So,
yeah.
You know, I know that was part of the reason why some Kentucky fans were like, hey, you know, maybe this is falling apart because the players haven't been told yet, and they canceled the meeting, and maybe this is falling through. But, yeah, you can't let a coach that's leaving talk to the players one more time and have those tears and crying and open the door up to get them to come with you, because it's a free-for-all, you know, in college athletics right now with the transfer portal era, and you could transfer and be immediately eligible. So, yeah, you can't allow that to happen.
Yeah. So you would assume we're going to hear some stuff today. And then, again, and I'm sure I have to believe Kentucky's hard at work already, kind of prospecting who's next. But press conference won't make it official until tomorrow. But it seems like it's moving forward. One little bit of trivia here. It's not really trivia. It's just anecdotal. Eric Musselman leaving Arkansas. I don't know if you read this, but they have right now, I don't even know how this is possible, but it's from a pretty reputable source, zero players on the active roster and zero incoming freshmen at Arkansas right now. I mean, maybe Cal.
Wait, what? There's zero active players?
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know. But these are guys that actually work for Arkansas Rivals and, you know, Rivals.com. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
Were they a team of just seniors last year? Like, but I didn't.
Again, they had a lot of transfer portal guys, that's right, for sure. So, I have to believe they've got some people. Maybe when they talk about active roster, it's like regulars, you know, guys that actually saw the floor.
I don't know, but I mean, if you're Calipari, that's probably okay with you, because you're used to A, having being able to recruit a bunch of freshmen, and B, plan to probably go in there equipped with some of your guys from Kentucky, but also just with the blank check NIL wise. If you're Arkansas, I don't understand why this is taking so long, because if I was Arkansas, I'd want Calipari in there immediately trying to poach some people. Maybe they're having to, you know, jump through some legal hurdles because Calipari didn't honor his contract in terms of giving Kentucky a heads up that he was negotiating with another school. He was free to do so. He just had to give them notification.
Right.
And maybe, you know, there was some back and forth on whether or not they had been notified versus not been notified at first. whenever like the ball was really rolling that this might happen was when there was an update like, hey, Calipari's let Kentucky know he's talking with Arkansas. But then there was pushback from Kentucky side saying, no, he didn't let us know anything. So maybe there's some legalities and lawyers having to kind of work some things out before they make it official.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And I agree with you. I think this might be a selling point for Cal. He might not have to do what, if you recall, when Patino came in at St. John's, he had to kind of clean house. He didn't have to, but he chose to. And that's just more additional work you have to do, and it sounds like he won't have much of that to do at Arkansas.
I love when you Google John Calipari, a couple of the top stories that pop up with him. A chicken empire and bad feelings behind John Calipari leaving. Chicken titan tied to Arkansas John Calipari hire. So just the chicken man coming in here and getting it done.
And then yesterday, what, the video of him walking his dog and then apparently pushing a stroller. Apparently the dog's a little older and sometimes he puts it in the stroller.
Yeah, I saw people making fun of him for that, and I kind of felt bad for that. Like, you know, some of these dogs get old. They still want to go outside and get a sniff. I'm not going to make fun of a man for his dog being old.
Yeah, that's when I was down in Florida, I saw a number of people walking their dogs in a stroller. It may be hard for the person to get around or the dog to get around or both. So
yeah, my boy Frank, he ain't got, I don't know how many good walks he's got left in him. He's still holding on. He's an old pup, but he still gets around pretty good. But yeah, when I see dogs older than him or around the same age in the strollers, I'm like, man, do I have the patience to do this? Am I going to go buy a stroller? But you kind of got to. So I felt bad for Calipari yesterday and people making fun of his dog because he's pushing a stroller.
He had his other one too.
Yeah.
He had one in the stroller and then another
one.
And then there was one and he was like, whoa, my dog's walking me. Like the guy was like, can you still comment on the situation? He's like, no, I'm just walking my dog.
He handles that stuff pretty well, I got to say. He was kindly saying, get away from me, but he did okay.
Yeah.
So maybe talk for a minute about there's all sorts of names flying around about potential replacements, and a lot of them are usual suspects. We know that. We've learned a lot in the last, really, about 12 hours, right? Two big names that I think would be at the top of Kentucky's list have at least, for the moment, said not interested.
Yeah, I saw some updates from some Kentucky people yesterday that they were going to make Dan Hurley, quote, an offer he can't refuse, which an offer you can't refuse means you're threatening to kill them. So, like, you know, I don't think that would go well with Dan Hurley, but also I don't think that's what Kentucky's going to do. I hate when people misuse that phrase and they're trying to use it to just mean just an offer with a lot of money. That's not what the Godfather intended when the mobsters were making offers you can't refuse. That means either you do it or you die. Yeah. That's why you can't refuse it, because either you do it or they kill you. Right. So, of course, you're going to do it because you can't refuse it. You don't want to die. But Dan Hurley either has a death wish or has told them thanks but no thanks, kind of same as Alabama and Nate Oates. Now, maybe they still want to talk and still want to offer a number that is just jaw-dropping and enough to at least make UConn squirm a little bit. But if I'm Kentucky, like, why not just get into the $12, $13, $14 million range with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, what does money really matter in college athletics anymore? Like, because it seems like we always get to these plateaus where coaches hang out at for a while. And, like, you know, in basketball forever is like the $5 million club. Like, hey, you're making $5 million. And no college basketball coach is going to make over $5 million. And football is like $8 million. And you're not going to make over $8 million. And then eventually the schools are like, actually, we're going to make you like a $10 million football coach, and you're going to be an $8 million basketball coach, and eventually it's going to be a $10 million basketball coach and a $15 million football coach. So, like, if I'm Kentucky, do I have some leverage now where I can still be the first to the table of just saying, here's some bleep you money. Here you go, big-time coach. Here's $13 or $14 million. What's that, Dan Hurley? You make three right now, or $5 million, you know, after your incentives and everything. Here's $15 million. Let's triple it. Here you go, UConn, who doesn't have the TV deal, who doesn't have the football program to back you up. You're going to pay it? Can you still turn a big profit there? That's what I would do if I was Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And so we mentioned, obviously, Hurley. We mentioned Nate Oates, who put his statement out. The other one who made a mention, for what it's worth, not that I don't know. I heard a couple of different things. I heard something yesterday on a competing national sports talk show. This was yesterday, long before the game happened, when they were talking about Cal replacements, and they talked about Jay Wright, okay? And they said, you know, the question that needs to get an answer was, did Jay Wright get out of college basketball simply because of the state of the game and he was over it and wanted to move on to other things, or did he get out of it because the state of the game was not going to allow him to win at Villanova like he had in the past? That's a different calculus for sure. That said, last night during the NCAA championship pregame show, Seth Davis was on set with those guys and Jay Wright was right there, and they talked about Kentucky replacements. And of course, Seth Davis sitting literally, you know, 8 inches from Jay Wright does not bring his name up. And so finally, Kenny Smith asked the question, and Wright just kind of smiled and said, I love what I'm doing here. You guys call me coach. I like being your coach on the set. And he kind of deflected it, but then they even asked him at the end, they go, so is that a no? And he goes, it's a no. And that's all he said. But it was not, boy, I got to tell you, it wasn't forceful. You know what I mean? It's like that. So that's, I'm sure that's another one Kentucky may still lob something out to.
Yeah, in that situation for Jay Wright, you can do the thing every year, or at least every 2 or 3 years, depending on, you know, his contract, the way it's set up. But like, your leverage is also like trying to convince the TV execs that you are maybe still interested in coaching, so they'll pay you more to keep you from coaching, because Jay Wright has a chance to be the face of college basketball. Like, when you just look at who's the guy right now that you consider the face of college basketball. For some, I mean, it would be Dick Vitale over the last 20 years. That's kind of over for him. I mean, in terms of him being
the face of the sport, from a media standpoint, or just
either way, whenever you think of the face of college basketball, Coach K had that. Of course, he's gone. Like, who is the face of college basketball? The name, because like, football is going to be Nick Saban for me, regardless of if he's coaching or if he's on TV. Like, he's still going to be the face of college football for as long as he's around, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's interesting, because it, to your point, it doesn't necessarily just get constituted by coaching chops, because, you know, Danny Hurley's at the top of his game, but he's a bit of a character that may be too much, you know, to be like the face of college basketball. Someone like Jay Wright, if he gets back into coaching, that's really interesting, because he's become very polished on television. He's great there, so it would be a good face.
Close your eyes, Sam. Okay. Bob, can you play the One Shining Moment music for me? Can you sing it for me?
I wonder if we have it in here.
Your eyes are supposed to be closed, Sam.
Let me do it. I can try.
Okay.
Sam, there you go.
Close your eyes.
They're close.
He's got them closed.
They're close.
Bob, I need your best Luther Vandross impression.
The ball is tipped. There you are.
Who are you picturing, Sam?
Dalton Connect.
I can't really. I don't know all the lyrics. Sorry.
Okay. Well, let's try to go bigger picture. Let's get out of Tennessee. Let's remove.
Hey, that wasn't bad though, was it?
I mean, it was compared to Luther Vandross, it was bad. But yeah. I mean, it was. It's fine.
Coach or player here?
Anything. Like who you picture? I mean, like, the players are so interchangeable. So like, I understand like it might be hard to remove yourself from this year's crop. But like, that's the thing about college athletics. You think about the coaches and the programs, because they're the constant. The players move around so much. The players graduate. Is there a face that stands out to you?
I don't know if there is one that is really jumping off the page to me.
You're not diving down deep. Because to me, like, it's Jay Billis is kind of where I think the last couple of years. Like, Jay Billis is that guy. And I hate Jay Billis. And I don't want him to be the face of college basketball anymore. Like, there's a vacuum there after Coach K left. Who's it going to be? Because Coach K's kind of disappeared. I know they throw him out in a couple commercials here and there. But, like, outside of that, like, Jay Billis is who I see the most in college sports. So, like, he's kind of the guy right now. I want it to be Jay Wright. And Jay Wright could do that by being the main guy on TV for a while. Or maybe he can't, because he's on CBS and we like only kind of see him. Like, what does Jay Wright do during the season? Is he around often? Does he come around on, like, for other games and stuff? Or is he just kind of the CBS guy?
I think he's just CBS.
Yeah,
guy.
I think he's just kind of the.
Because I know they have the Saturday game or whatever during the season, but like, it's hard to be like, to match up with Jay Billis who's doing it every day for ESPN, and maybe Jay Wright likes doing it just one day a week, and that's part of the reason he doesn't want to get back into coaching, because he has a good work-life balance right now.
The other thing they've been doing with Jay Wright is, they ran on like CBS Sports Network, but he's doing like some of these sit-down interviews that are like long-form, like half-hour shows where he's sitting down. Like there's one he sat down with Danny Hurley. And, you know, and then they lift segments of that and they've used them in some of their pregame shows, et cetera. But I think they're looking at creating other content with him. And he's actually very good at that, too, kind of an interview setting, just kind of hanging out with these coaches. And
I think Jay Wright is in a place where he's very, very liked right now.
Oh, yeah.
And he was that at Villanova. Like, no one really hated Villanova. They were an historic enough program to where you appreciated the history of it, but like it was his program and they didn't really have any hated players. They didn't really have any teams that you really disliked, and he wasn't powerful enough for long enough to really become like an evil power. He won his two championships and kind of got out before he became hated. Going to a place like Kentucky makes him a villain, like just kind of being associated with that brand. And if I'm Jay Wright, I could just be the TV guy that everyone likes and just kind of come in from time to time and be really smart and be really handsome and not have to worry about my blood pressure being up. But the thing about it is, all these coaches that get out and do TV, they eventually get back into coaching. Like, John Gruden is making a lot of money to do Monday Night Football, and he went back to the Raiders. Doc Rivers was really good on TV. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get back in it a couple different times. So, like, some of these guys just have it in their blood. So, like, I do wonder, like, where Jay Wright is, because he's probably at the point where he's looking himself in the mirror and say, hey, it's now or never. Not getting any younger. If we are going to get back into coaching, probably need to do it now.
Do you feel like those guys, though, were getting back into coaching to go try back to accomplish something? Like, Jay Wright had already accomplished. He won titles before he went back to TV, before he goes to TV.
Yeah, I mean, Doc Rivers just came out of TV again. Like, he's done it multiple times. Like, the first time when he left was after the Magic fired him, and I think he went to the Celtics, I believe, is kind of how that went. And yeah, he won a championship there. He's been kind of a laughingstock the last decade. So maybe he's like, hey, my career's not finished, even though I have my championship. But Gruden had won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, Gruden, you know, had a lot more credit of being an elite coach than, like, he does now after, you know, his stint in Vegas, even without the scandal attached to it. Like, he wasn't necessarily, like, great in Vegas as the head coach. So, like, Jay Wright has even less to prove. I don't know if that's your point or not. But
yeah,
like,
I think
yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's just not a prove-it factor for him to come back into the coaching realm.
Yeah, maybe.
Unless he just loves, you know, although he can get a lot of that on TV. I was going to say, you know, I've always jokingly called him kind of the George Clooney of college basketball because he's dapper, good-looking guy, just really charismatic on TV, too. I don't know. You're right. I'm trying to think of any other coach who has not left the chair on TV. The only one I can think of is Bill Cowher for football, and that's it.
Yeah, and even he flirted with it a couple times with the Panthers and such, the hometown team. But yeah, he never did. But with Jay Wright and what you're talking about, that's a part of the Q rating I'm talking about. Like, he's really, really liked right now.
Yeah.
Going to Kentucky kind of ruins that.
Yeah, I think so.
He can be – that ties into the face of college basketball because a lot of people don't like Jay Billis. So far, everyone kind of likes Jay Wright whenever he's doing the TV stuff. And, like, he comes across as good in the games and good in the studio. Without Jay Wright.
I've got my face of basketball.
Who is it?
Bill Rafferty.
Okay. He's the voice. He's kind of the voice I think of. But if they don't get Jay Wright, where do they turn? We'll dive into that list after the break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Are you ready to play hard and work harder? Are you looking to take the next step in your career with a company who celebrates hard work? Hey.
The segment is brought to you by Logo Solutions, powered by SM Athletics. Are you a business owner, a club director, a member of a social or religious organization, and have a logo? And need merch to help represent your brand? Well, check out Logo Solutions, powered by SM Athletics. You have a logo, they have a solution. From custom apparel to headwear and promotional items, Logo Solutions is your one-stop shop for all of your branded merchandise needs, made right here in East Tennessee. Be sure to give them a call for all of your logo needs. 865-966-3434. That is Logo Solutions, powered by SM Athletics. I am personally really hoping that Kentucky gets humbled in this coaching search. I don't know how realistic that is, because I do think they have what you consider bleep you money when it comes to college basketball. I just wonder at what point they start throwing it around. Jay Wright, I don't think's happening. Dan Hurley, I don't think's happening, even though I'd make him turn down like $14 million. I would like quadruple his salary and just say, do something about it, UConn.
He'd be a great heel too, right, for that program? I mean, like, to the other program.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I mean, well, he'd be a heel to their fan base too. That's probably. I mean, like, yeah. he would do whatever. Like, he would just be the alpha there. Like, there are a few people I think equipped to handle that fan base, but there's a part of me that thinks Hurley probably in the back of his mind would like to tussle with the big blue nation while also like representing them in war against everyone else. But I think those same things makes him probably very loyal to UConn for giving him that opportunity, and probably would like kill somebody in the name of UConn. But
right.
Not buying him, not buying Nate Oates, as they've both kind of said thanks but no thanks. Where does that leave us on the list of candidates?
Well, before I get to that, I want to – this helps kind of tee it up a little bit. 24/7 also put out a list of what they call the top 10 college basketball jobs that are out there, you know, program-wise. And these are ones that aren't necessarily – they're not all vacant. These are ones that have coaches in them. But it was interesting because of where they're placing them. And I think it's based on probably prestige from the past, but also available money, you know, NIL money, all those things.
All right, you ready, Sam? PK shootout, top 10. You want to go first or second?
Of these candidates?
No, you weren't listening.
Yeah, well,
10 best 10 best college basketball jobs. Not okay. Open and available, just in general.
Just in general. They sure. Can be occupied.
Sure.
You want to go first or second? I'm going first since you weren't listening. Yeah, I'll go fine. With Kentucky.
Kentucky is number 2.
I'll take Kansas.
Kansas is number 4.
Is number 1 going to be North Carolina? Because I feel like it should be.
It is number 1.
Michigan State.
Number 8.
Nah, it's not a top 10 job. Once Izzo leaves, I'll be interested to see who they actually hire. I can't imagine they're actually going to be able to go out and get somebody back. I'll go with Arizona.
Arizona's number 9.
UConn.
UConn is number five. So we've named number 1, 2, 4, 5, 8, and 9.
Nervous about this one. UCLA.
Nope. Not on the list.
I'm going to take a wild guess on mine, too. I'm going to go, might be some recency bias. I'm going to go Baylor.
Can't be Baylor. If it's Baylor, I'm leaving the studio. Duke.
Duke's number 3.
Yeah.
That means if you miss this, I win, Sam, just for the record.
So, yeah, we're now at.
No pressure.
What numbers are left?
Number 6, number 7, and number 10.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
I'm going to say that the Tennessee Vols are a top 10 job in the country.
Tennessee is number 10.
Let's go. Barely scooting by.
Kind of a surprise. Let's finish this out. I have a comment there.
6 and 7 left?
Gonzaga.
Oh, Gonzaga, yeah.
No.
Oh.
You've got to be kidding me. Gonzaga's a better job than Michigan State.
No.
I think so.
Don't you think once Mark Few leaves, Gonzaga is done?
I think it might, like, again, might be logic, other factors. Right? There might be, I don't know, might be NIL money, might be just money.
I don't know. I think controlling the West Coast would be a better setup. Not having a power conference.
Weren't you just dragging the WCC roll. Through the mud like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, and I said not having a conference to worry about was a big part of that. Yes, I was dragging the WCC through the mud, and I'm being consistent there.
Not a top 10 job. 6 and 7.
Do you need a hint?
No hints.
Okay.
If Sam gets it right, he wins. God, I hope I don't lose this. Tennessee at top 10 job. Give me a break. I mean, I think you can make that argument, but. I don't necessarily disagree. I'm just surprised we got the rub there. The one time
is there another SEC team?
He said no hits. You got 5 seconds. The PK shootout's fast. You don't get to sit there and just stare at the goalie forever. And you missed. Texas. Give me Texas.
Incorrect.
Son of a gun. At least I answered one.
All right, you got a name. You can't sit here and deliberate.
3 seconds, Sam.
Do they make Arkansas a top 10 job now that Coach Cal's there?
Sam,
son of a gun.
Six.
Give me a break.
What's seven?
Let me guess. Well, I was Florida on there. Wrong.
No. And that surprised me, actually.
Stupid list. Good job by you, Sam.
Number seven was Louisville.
I was, in my head when we were doing that, I meant to guess Louisville, but then Louisville, I just got stuck. Yeah,
but what surprises me, I will say this, and then we'll get into these candidates, is, love Tennessee, obviously. I'm surprised they're on that list ahead of Florida, ahead of Gonzaga.
Shadrick Barnes, man.
Yeah.
He has raised the prestige of the program. And, you know, if you're taking in money that you're investing in the program, I mean, I think Tennessee, we'd said it for so long, which is what made the Konzo Martin, the Donnie Tindall hire so annoying. We're just like, you have an NBA arena that's top 10 in the country. You have a fan base that is willing to go to games if you win. They don't really want to travel, you know, to go watch tournament basketball when the season's on the line. But, like, they'll go, you know, to Knoxville to watch those games. You'll sell out and have a good atmosphere. And then now when you add an NIL commitment into it, too, and, like, spending there, like, it does seem like Tennessee checks all the boxes you need. In-state recruiting, Nashville and Memphis. I mean, if you're getting credit for Memphis, like, the in-state recruiting's there, too. So, like, I do think it checks a lot of the boxes of the top 10.
Yeah. Proximity to Atlanta, too.
Yeah, just recruiting grounds. Yeah. But, like, if you're just – sometimes they'll just clarify just and specify just in-state on those.
Yeah, that's fair.
Especially
that's
like why in football.
That's why I guess Baylor, because I thought Texas is such a great recruiting ground. They've got a new facility there, kind of.
They do have a new facility. It's a small one, but, like, it is new. Sure. But I do think that, like, if Scott Drew leaves, and I imagine he's going to be Kentucky's actual, like, legitimate number one candidate – I don't know who they hire. Like, I don't know how appealing that job actually is. Won a national championship, got the new arena, but, like, I don't know.
Go grab Jerome Tang again from Kansas State. Bring him back.
To Baylor?
Yeah.
That's interesting. That may happen if Drew left. That's a really interesting domino that could fall there. All right. Let's talk a little bit about who these candidates are. Okay. We've eliminated a few already. Jay Wright, Danny Hurley.
What a Hail Mary on Tennessee.
That was a huge Hail Mary.
Stupid.
And Nate Oates eliminated, too. Scott Drew, what it sounds like so far, you know, just people, I don't know if anybody's got it on great information. I just think everybody's deducing the top two are Scott Drew and Billy Donovan. Drew just signed a new contract because he passed on Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
But I that doesn't mean he'd pass on Kentucky.
And I'd imagine him signing that is one of those that just gives him more leverage where he's getting protected on the back end if he gets fired, but he, you know, has easier outs on his end because he has all the leverage and has won a national championship and all those things.
That's right. Donovan obviously has some Kentucky history being an assistant under Rick Pitino, and we talked about this earlier, one of the very few coaches that have won back-to-back national titles when he was at Florida. Kentucky, he's spurned Kentucky before when they were replacing Tubby Smith, when that led to the Billy Gillespie hire. But word has it that at least once, Donovan has been contacted about this job and has, you know, said he's interested for a minute and then has backed out. So it'll be interesting to see at this point because, his NBA season, they're right on the cusp for they made the play-in tournament, didn't they?
Yeah, they made the play-in tournament, but they're, you know, not going to make any noise in the playoffs. They're going to have to play the Hawks in the 9-10 matchup. Even if they win that, who knows if they can win the 7-8 matchup. Point being, he hasn't gotten anything rolling in the NBA. He had decent Thunder seasons at the beginning, not great. Went to the Bulls, has really had no success. You know, maybe if Lonzo Ball doesn't get hurt, maybe they have a little bit better success. Maybe he got hurt a little bit by injuries. But, no, like, I don't think he's long for the NBA world. I was actually surprised he got the Bulls job anyways because I thought, you know, he had kind of already proven he wasn't meant for that. So, like, I think he'd be a candidate that if he's going to look for longevity in his career, would need to go back to college.
Yeah, I think so. And the one thing I think that's interesting there when I talked about them going to the play-in tournament, if Kentucky doesn't move quickly in the next few days, for example, then that makes you wonder how much in play Donovan really is. They might be waiting until, his NBA season is over, right? And it could be over, what, by maybe end of next week? Probably the soonest. So we'll have to see. The name that came out that I just, maybe it's just recency bias, I don't know. I think this is a dubious choice. He's been successful in regular season, but Tommy Lloyd at Arizona hasn't shown much in the postseason. Got absolutely run as far as, you know, got out coached by Brad Brownell when they played Clemson just week before last. But he, you know, been a good recruiter, but he just recently signed a contract extension. I mean, those we know can be, you know, written and made to be broken, but I don't know. That one seems to be a little bit more of a long shot to me. The other name that came up too was TJ Otzelberger, which I just don't see that one at all myself. If I'm Kentucky, I'm not even, Otzelberger would probably be interested. I'm just not sure that's the play.
I mean, I don't know. He's had two good seasons at Iowa State, right? I mean, sure. He's had two really good seasons at Iowa State.
Yeah. He's got a big buyout, $18 million, signed through 2029 as well. Bruce Pearl comes up, which seems like he would do well in that role. But
what I would worry about there is Bruce Pearl is basically the same age as Calipari.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Bruce maybe is 2 years younger than Calipari, but like, and maybe that doesn't matter at Kentucky because it's not going to be like a big rebuild, or it's not like, you know, something that you have to go in and really grind and like work your ass off in. Like, it's something that you should be able to kind of, I don't say kick your feet up and relax, but like you should be able to get there and life should be easier.
Yeah, the one thing I would worry about if I was a Kentucky administrator or board member or whatever, fan base probably doesn't care as much, as with Bruce, you're going to win. You know that. It's just, what's the prospect of getting in trouble to get to those wins? That's the only thing. I mean, there is a track record there.
I don't know if are you still worried about that and taking it into consideration during the NIL era, because you don't have to worry about
that's
sneaking
fair.
Around and paying players or sneaking around and recruiting players. It seems like all the coaches of the NCAA baggage should kind of, you know, be okay.
Yeah, if you think about it, it's that's fair. I mean, I think that it's most any of these folks' transgressions have been tied to that, getting, you know, taking care of their players, right?
Right, and like now with collectives, like you shouldn't even really have to worry about even doing any of the negotiating or doing anything under the table. You literally can just tell your booster or your collective, like, hey, you handle this. Kind of like the Bagman of the past, like, hey, I don't want to know. You can now do that legally. So I wouldn't be worried at all about Pearl and his NCAA stuff.
Yeah, I think he could kill it there, quite honestly. That's the one I actually would prefer not to see Kentucky get. However, we talked about this yesterday. What it could mean is then it means if he went there, then Auburn becomes less of a threat, you know, across the conference. Mark Pope is one of the only former Kentucky players that's mentioned in this. I'd be all for that. I just think, you know, I know he's gotten BYU to some level of success, but I don't know. I just think that if I were a Kentucky fan, even though he played there, that feels like settling for sure.
Well, everything's going to feel like settling for a Kentucky fan outside of the big guys we talked about right off the jump. Right off, you know, besides Jay Wright, besides Natos, besides Danny Hurley, and maybe Bruce Pearl. Probably Bruce Pearl. Everything else is going to feel like settling. Billy Donovan, his name still carries weight, two national championships, but like if I was a Kentucky fan,
yeah,
I wouldn't be like over the moon with hiring Billy Donovan. Like I would go into that one with a lot of trepidation and just like thinking like, well, the college game was a lot different when he was really good at it. He's been gone for a long time. So I wouldn't even be doing backflips over that.
That would be my point with Donovan. I would be very concerned with navigating NIL and all the transfer portal stuff. Like, that's just something that he has zero experience with.
So, like, if you remove Jay Wright, if you remove Hurley, if you remove Oates, like, to me, it comes down to, if I'm a Kentucky fan, it needs to be Bruce Pearl or it needs to be Scott Drew.
And I think, honestly, I think Pearl's the best choice of them all for that, for a fit with that program.
Well, he's going to be he understands pageantry, he understands tradition, yeah. He understands how to sell things, like, yeah, like Bruce Pearl would fit in perfectly there and be up to the task and know how to schmooze all the boosters he needs to and know how to work the the transfer portal and bring in players. I still don't know if he'd be able to find like a guard. That's what's kind of plagued him his entire time at Auburn outside of the one guy that hit all those threes.
KD Johnson's in the portal. What do you mean?
Yeah, bring KD Johnson with him. Like, but like outside of the, I can't even remember his name now, that carried him to the Final Four hitting all those threes with the headband.
Oh my God, yeah.
It wasn't, Jared Harper didn't have the headband.
Harper was there too. It was Harper and I can't think of who the other guy's name was.
That's going to kill me.
Outside of that year, like he hasn't really been able to find a guard at Auburn. You know, like that's, it's kind of what's plagued him over the last 5 years there.
Then there's one more.
All right.
Bryce Brown.
Yeah,
thank you, Houston.
Houston, just, we got a listener. One more that comes in. Is there a world, because the word on the street is he'd kill to come back, where Patino gets a look?
Well, I was going to ask you how far down the list they have to get to bring him back.
That's a guy that's 6 years older than Cal already.
Yeah. No, this is a nostalgia play.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he was just in Keeneland this past weekend, just hanging out.
And, like, to be fair, I know I made that point with Pearl and Cal, but, like, maybe it's not fair to make for the Kentucky job because it is something that you can not have to pour yourself into.
Yeah, it's more of a CEO job, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, Calipari was running it as a CEO, and, like, you know, it kind of unseated him. It kind of was the reason he was struggling. But X's and O's was a bigger problem for Cal. It wasn't necessarily the way he acted with the fans as much as they just weren't winning enough.
But I think I agree with that. Let's draw the correlation then to what Barnes, there was an adjustment with Barnes this year where I felt he took more of that CEO role, relied on his assistants, but still stayed in the coaching game.
But can you do that at a new school?
Yeah, that's fair.
Versus like when you've established the culture and you've already built things, and you know, Barnes has been here for a long time now, like, can you come in and do that at a new school? That would be my question, and that's kind of, I guess, I brought the age with Pearl was, would he have the time to come there and, you know, turn into a 6-year program? And maybe Patino wouldn't. Patino would be there. It almost feels like for like one last hurrah, and it would feel like they'd have to strike out on like all the other big candidates before they did that. Patino, do we still give him credit for being a top 5 college basketball mind? Because it's been a while, like, you know, to talk about Billy Donovan, it's been a while since Patino was actually, like, great. I know, like, Iona had some moments and St. John's had some moments, but, like, the championship he won at Louisville was, what, 2014, 2013?
13, I think.
13. Yeah, 2013. Yeah, 2013. It's 11 years ago.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I went back and forth with the job he did at St. John's this year. At first, I was like, you know, he's going to have them in the mix. Then they weren't. But then he got them on that late run at the end of the season after he said they all sucked. I don't know. I just know there'd be a lot of folks in the Kentucky fan base that would welcome him back.
For sure.
Yeah, he was pretty beloved there, even though he ended up at their arch enemy when he went to Louisville eventually.
And he's talked about how he never should have left and
gone
to the NBA and done all those things. So
vibes would be good on that. I just don't know how successful it'd be.
Where do you think they ultimately end up? Because to me, it feels like the pipe dream of them actually having a chaotic search is probably not going to be realized. It feels like the Alabama job from that perspective, where you hope and you pray that they go through, you know, some of the pain that you've gone through here at Tennessee, but there's an obvious choice that you can bump his salary up and give him the keys to the castle and put him in like position, kind of like DeBoer at Washington. It's like, yeah, he's got things rolling there, but it's a completely different ball game doing it at Washington versus doing it at Alabama. No one's going to be able to, you know, to avoid that allure. It feels like that's Scott Drew. Like,
I agree.
Baylor's is nice, and yeah, you could be a legend there and blah blah blah, but like it's still Baylor and a huge, huge step up to get to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Scott Drew is the natural choice. Again, my preference as a fan rooting against Kentucky would be that they take Scott Drew and not Bruce Pearl. I think Pearl could be more successful than Scott Drew there. Doesn't mean Scott Drew can't win. I just think Pearl's the one that will keep Tennessee fans up at night as an opponent again, you know, and I'd prefer he not get that job over Scott Drew.
Sam?
Yeah, to me, Scott Drew feels like the clear number one answer if I'm Kentucky. And I kind of think once you fall off from Scott Drew, I think that they might be a little disappointed if it's someone other than that.
Would Scott Drew get them excited?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, he won the national championship in 2021.
He's got pedigree. I don't know if how excited he'll get them. They'll get excited by the fact he's won a national championship. He's definitely not the dynamic personality that they just have had. You know, if you think, and you think even further back, you had Patino, and then you've had Cal, because they kind of went through some dry years in that regard between Tubby Smith and Gillespie. But again, huge faction of the fan base grew tired of the games with Cal too, so maybe they'll accept Scott Drew just fine.
I didn't realize Drew had been there since 2004, or no, even longer than that. He'd been there since 2003. I mean, that is hard to get somebody to leave somebody that had been for 20 years, mm-hmm. especially like now that they kind of, you know, are trying to invest in the program.
And what he built it from too. I mean, it was basically scorched earth there. So it might be a little more personal for him. I don't know.
Big 12's kind of caught up to the rest of the country too in competition. You know, I mean, that's
one of the Big 12
conferences out there.
Is number one, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, when I look at Scott Drew, national championship, yes. That's the only year he's been out of the second round since 2017.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 years, throw a COVID year in there or whatever. But, like, he hasn't lost in the first round. He wins one game, but then he gets bounced out in round two. Unless he wins a national championship. Now, you could argue about outlier and whether or not you take that into account. Because, like, if you hired Tony Bennett from Virginia, you pumped up about that if you're Kentucky? No, right? No. Like, you'd be like, no, that's awful. But, like, the resume is pretty similar.
Yeah.
In terms of actual tournament success.
Yeah. I think that's interesting. If it's Scott Drew and then Baylor makes their play on Jerome Tang, that could all work out. K-State's left holding the bag with something, but
look at what happened just because Rob Lanier was wrongfully fired.
Yeah. Right. All started with that, right?
Yeah. If Rob Lanier had not been wrongfully fired, USC doesn't lose their coach. They don't grab Arkansas's coach. They don't have to grab Kentucky's coach. That carousel never gets spinning if Rob Lanier just gets to keep his job after doubling his win total.
That'll be one of those great things that you look back on social media in like a decade, and it's like, remember when SMU started the biggest domino turn, you know, in college basketball in the last decade?
Hopefully we're talking about it the way we do in Tennessee football. Like, oh man, if Drew Brees just didn't fail his physical, then Nick Saban never becomes the lord of college basketball. Hopefully it's like, hey, Kentucky fans crying of, man, if Rob Lanier just didn't get fired, we wouldn't have gone through this 10-year stretch of darkness. Yeah, hopefully it's that and not Kentucky basketball's run of dominance. We'll wrap up the show. Last call on the other side.
Are you ready to play hard and...
Well, I can tell you she's a bad idea. For the good it would be.
What do we got on tap today in sports now that college basketball is over? We got the NBA, a little stretch run here, although the playoffs are pretty much locked in, and I don't know how seriously people care about jockeying for position in terms of seeding there. Got some NHL stuff. Baseball, of course. I know locally we got we got our press conference today, our introductory press conference of Kim Stevens.
Yeah, it sounds like we will meet our new women's basketball coach, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock?
Yeah.
You going over there?
Nah, wasn't planning on it, no.
I'm sure you can get the RTI credential if you want to go over and kind of, you know, continue to stake your claim as the station's Lady Vol expert.
Our guys can cover that.
Okay.
Are you feeding
them questions?
They'll have an earpiece in their ear.
Let's feed them some questions.
Hey, ask her. Yeah. It should be interesting. From what we have...
Are you happy in your marriage, Kim?
That's right. You were a big fan last week.
You know, I liked your style. I liked your style. I'm excited. I am actually excited to see the press conference, to see the quotes. I mean, I don't expect anything noteworthy out of there. I mean, I don't think she's going to just come out and be like, hey... the Pat Summitt statue's coming down. We're getting rid of the ghost of Pat Summitt. Enough of that. She's no longer going to linger over the program. I don't expect that. That would be a jaw-dropping statement. That'd be a big statement. I don't anticipate that.
Well, I saw Houston was mentioning it on the drive yesterday, and it sounds like he was doing a little homework on her, too. It sounds like she's all about ball. She may not necessarily win the press conference. Doesn't mean that she's bad at it, but it sounds like she might just be kind of all business there. So it'll be interesting to see that today. We'll get a chance to get a glimpse.
That's the march towards equality, right? As we start caring more and more about women's basketball and women's sports, we have to hit certain check marks. You got to watch the game. Then you got to care about the storylines. Then you got to be able to roast the players that mess up and take the kids' gloves off there. And now we have to dissect the press conferences of the coaches and what they say and how they sell us on their vision. I wasn't my husband's first choice either. I think it had to be different for one. I think you have to come out and say, I was the first choice. I was I had many options, and I chose right. I had so many options. I could have stayed.
My husband wasn't my first choice.
I could have stayed with my other boyfriend. I had three other guys courting me. You know, Tennessee isn't the only school that called me, but I looked around and I said, hey, this is the most secure future for me and my family. Much like when I chose my husband, I chose Tennessee. I think that maybe has to be the spin she puts on it. I had plenty of options, people. Could have gone home with anybody I wanted, but I chose him, and I chose Tennessee. The men's always so sad. It's like, well, you know, I tried. I was really after this girl for a long time, and finally wore her down. I wasn't her first choice, but you know what? I wasn't yours either. We'll see if we can make this work. It's just such sad behavior. A woman could come out differently. I was playing the field. I could have gone and had anybody I wanted.
That'd be an interesting turn if it goes that way today. Well, it's good that she's getting out there. And I guess part of the story of why she didn't do something yesterday is she wanted to meet with the team first and kind of get to work. So, you know, kind of evaluate what's going on as far as portal opportunities. Saw there's a kind of a lead player from Marshall that's already entered the portal. So you wonder if she's going to be taking the stroll over to Knoxville.
You said an elite player from Marshall, is that what you said?
Not necessarily a lead. I'm a lead player.
I just didn't know what you had said. Yeah. Okay, a lead. So one of their better players.
One of their better
players.
They could
probably step up and come here and help set the culture and maybe be in the rotation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, be interesting. Big chapter, page turn in the Lady Vols program happening today.
I commit to paying attention to the Lady Vols next year.
Yeah, I'd like to. Well, and that's a great segue as we wrap up today about women's basketball in general. We talked yesterday about it'd be interesting to see what the ratings looked like for that championship game on Sunday. I posed the question of, I don't know how it'll do because it's an afternoon game, but boy, was I wrong. It was the most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or professional, in 5 years. 18.7 million average viewers. Unbelievable. Came up just short of 19.5 million that watched NBC's broadcast of the women's U.S. versus Brazil gold medal game in the 96 Olympics, which ironically, Dawn Staley was part of that team. Viewership peaked at 24 million that afternoon. That just blows me away. I really would have never seen that coming for it to be that. I figured it'd be a good number, but I didn't think it'd be, that's like crazy how good that number was.
It's so fascinating to watch it grow and wonder if it's going to sustain. Was it just Caitlin Clark?
Yeah.
Will people hang around? Did they do enough during the Caitlin Clark era to make other stars and make you care about them? Will it just all go to the WNBA? Will people actually watch? Will people care there? I don't know. I'm interested in seeing how it progresses. The G.I. Jake Show coming up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.